Amory and 107.5 FM W298 DK Amory. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Nearly 600 dead so far, and nearly half a million could be displaced in continued fighting between Israel and Hezbollah in southern Lebanon. ABC's Ian Pannell has more from Beirut.
As the two warring sides ramp up their attacks, hundreds of thousands of families now internally displaced in just 3 days. One family telling us they traveled for nearly 20 hours to get to safety. Two parents and their 5 children, their youngest, baby Mohammed, just 8 months old.
The UN General Assembly continues meeting in New York. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky will address the body later today. Tropical storm Helene is intensifying as it plows up through the Gulf of Mexico. It's expected to make landfall along the Big Bend coast of Florida as a Category 3 hurricane. Former President Trump is in North Carolina campaigning today. Vice President Kamala Harris is set to deliver what her campaign says is a major speech on the economy in battleground Pennsylvania. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WLAK News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WLAK website at lakeair.radio.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A man from Wisconsin is dead after falling from Devil's Tower in Wyoming. Authorities say 21-year-old Stuart Porter of Eau Claire was rappelling down the rock formation when he fell on Saturday. A climber with Porter was stranded and had to be rescued. 7 people have died while climbing Devil's Tower over more than 100 years of recreational climbing. The current farm bill expires on Monday. Advocates say Congress should pass funding that benefits small Wisconsin farms.
To neglect that is basically just picking winners and losers within the agricultural economy.
Chuck Anderis is with the Michael Fields Agricultural Institute. He says he's also concerned about climate smart language, which may only benefit big farms. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. A Duluth man was arrested in connection to a West Michigan Street stabbing on Sunday. According to the Duluth Police Department, the 24-year-old man was accused of stabbing a 35-year-old woman in the arm at around 3 a.m. The woman was taken to a local hospital for treatment with non-life-threatening injuries. Authorities say the 2 people involved did know each other, but have not shared what led to the stabbing. The man was arrested and is expected to be charged with second-degree assault. The investigation is ongoing. Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers visited Superior on Monday as part of his statewide tour highlighting clean energy projects. Governor Evers stopped at the Superior Fire Department to see their electric response vehicles and solar array, which officials say prevents the release of over 267,000 pounds of carbon dioxide each year. Under the governor's clean energy plan, the state aims to reach 100% carbon-free electricity by 2050 and create over 40,000 jobs in the next few years. And that's what you need to know. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
A potential playoff preview looms this week. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cuska with sports, filling in for Mike Clemens. The Milwaukee Brewers are all but locked into the third seed in next month's MLB playoffs. The NL Central champions beat Pittsburgh yesterday 7-2. The Brewers will play the Pirates again this evening. This weekend, Milwaukee takes on the New York Mets in what could be a playoff matchup. Green Bay has won 2 in a row with backup quarterback Malik Willis at the helm. Willis said he has to be prepared if his number is called.
And I've had a lot of time to just, you know, work hard and just grind every day in order to make use of my next opportunity, which I've been just trying to do this last 2 weeks. And I think more than anything, you just try to continue to work hard and understand that you don't know when the opportunity will come, but you have to be ready for it if you get it.
Starting quarterback Jordan Love, who practiced all of last week, has missed 2 games with an MCL sprain, but could return this week. Kickoff against the Minnesota Vikings is at noon on Sunday. The Milwaukee Bucks are making a, quote, major ownership announcement Thursday morning. Bucks co-owner Jimmy Haslam will be speaking. Filling in for Mike Clemens, I'm Jimmy Cuska with Civic Media Sports.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
It is going to feel a lot more like summer than fall here for the next several days. Today, sunny with a high in the mid to upper 70s this afternoon. Tonight, clear. We may get a little fog toward morning. Our low upper 40s to low 50s. Tomorrow, mostly sunny with a high in the upper 70s to low 80s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 50.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Kamala Harris was so classy. What did you think of the debate? My friend and Milwaukee County Board Chairwoman Marcelia Nicholson.
As a woman of color, she ran a clinic on how to school a mediocre white man. And on the other end, you have Trump, who was angry and rattled and showed why he was unfit to be president.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Maggie Dawn.
Next up, I'll be discussing a piece of transformative legislation newly introduced that is going to save the middle class. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio.
Hey, what's happening?
Brother, what's up?
This is a big party, man.
Yeah,
I
brother, dig it.
Stop right on.
Mother, mother, there's too many of you crying. Brother, 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 there's far too many of you dying.
You're relevant today.
Absolutely. And so that came out in 1969. And so that's my opening everywhere I go. That's the first thing I play before I ever take the microphone. And I've been doing that now for 20 years. And I'll never not do it. Anyway, good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Good morning to you, Calvin. How you doing, man?
Good morning to you, sir.
I'm doing pretty good, Earl. How are you?
I'm doing fine, man. But by the way, that's Calvin over there.
Yeah, I see him. At first, it was disembodied voice, but now I can see.
But anyway, it is an honor and a privilege to have a man I have the utmost and profound respect for, and that's Chief Jeffrey Norman, the chief of the City of Milwaukee Police Department. Good morning to you, Chief Norman. How you doing, man?
Morning to you, sir, and I'm honored to even have that thoughts in your you say this about me, because definitely I have nothing but respect for what you've done for the many years and the decades you have been involved in our community.
You know, man, you have been with the police department for how many years?
28.
And I remember when you first threw your hat in the ringer to become the police chief. And they didn't want me. And I remember supporting you then. I said, this is the guy. Here's a guy with a law degree. Here's a guy who has lived experience in our city, who loves our city, who's a part of it. He can go anywhere, but you're still here. And I remember they skipped over you. Yeah. And when they finally came to their senses, I think it's important that before we get into this, 2 years ago, at this point in time, there were 160 murders in our city. Last year, I think there was 120 some odd murders.
About 170.
170. This year, it's 100 too many.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
One is too many, right?
Absolutely.
But you, and one more before we get into all those things. A lot of that was done with, you know, you certainly had a lot of open positions in the police department through retirement and through the state, city not having the financial resources to fill out the number of officers that you, what's a number of officers that you think you would feel comfortable with?
As many as I can get. definitely right now we're hovering around 1600, and under Act 12, we should have like 1725, but I'll never turn away resources.
But yeah. that's a big increase compared to 2 years ago, 1,600 offices.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep. We are definitely dealing with some challenging times. I mean, staffing is still an issue. We have those retirements out there. We still have people resigning. But I'll say this much. The work of many is done by few. And that we have to continue to lean into our community, look at all the different resources, and understanding that, you know, when you have people putting that effort in together, it makes the work a little easier. Not easy, but a little easier.
So, Chief Norman, you one of the reasons that I reached out to you, and I should have done it long ago, is you issued a plea in a letter to our community.
Right.
It was after another one of those situations where children either are killing or being killed.
Right.
I remember talking to the former superintendent of Milwaukee Public Schools. I said, the blood of our children is running in the streets.
Yeah.
What are we going to do?
Right.
And you have to deal with that.
Right.
You and your force have to deal with 12-year-olds, 9-year-olds, 10-year-olds, 6-year-olds being killed.
Right.
Man, how is that? I mean, let's talk a little bit about what it's like for you and your officers to have to deal and go to a scene where a 6-year-old has been murdered.
Traumatizing. I don't know if anyone can ever put words into seeing that type of, unfortunately, terror to our children, seeing whether they're on the receiving end of the violence or, you know, putting out that violence. And it's frustrating because, you know, this is not something that any child should go through their childhood, be exposed to, or have to deal with. And so when we see these type of situations, it's incumbent upon ourselves, especially as those in law enforcement, to speak about it and not to be silent. There should not be any complacency, or I like to say, being desensitized, that this is just another day, another, you know, situation, move on.
As a chief law enforcement officer for the city of Milwaukee, how in the world do 13, 14-year-old boys get their hands on automatic weapons?
So this is a conversation I can never talk enough about. They don't go into your local store to buy guns. They're not, you know, having some type of mail order. These are things being taken out of cars. They're being taken out of residences. They're being taken in regards to people who are negligent in regards to these particular type of weapons. And that is where these individuals, these young kids, are able to get their hands on, you know, firearms that they can't buy legally through other means. And that's where we as a public can really lean into. No one's trying to get into a Second Amendment, you know, conversation or the right to bear arms. It's about responsibility. It's about that if you are going to choose to be that individual in possession of a firearm, be responsible. You know, don't leave it unattended in your house. Don't leave it under the seat in your car. That's not proper securing of the weapon. There are so many different tools out there that you can utilize to make it more difficult for these young kids to get a hold of these weapons.
You know, Chief Norman, it's bad enough that they get their hands on a handgun. But several years ago, they banned a bump stock. And now they overturned it. And now, for people who don't know what the bump stock is, it's an apparatus that they can buy online or somewhere else to make a handgun an automatic weapon.
Yeah.
How does that make sense?
It's challenging in regards to that. You know, that's that balancing act of what is legal, but yet still we see the problems that come out of these particular type of legal means. And, you know, the thing that we always focus on from our department is the behaviors. If you are saying that this is your right, well, you know, just be right with it. You know, there is just the type of means that you're supposed to use for these particular type of instruments, and when they're used in an unacceptable way, like, you know, when you talk about the bump stock, it brings back to Las Vegas. We're seeing more and more violence within our community, whether it's our schools, our churches, our public spaces, and that's where the community needs to have to, you know, have a hard discussion about how do we appropriately address these concerns. It's being far too often in our news.
You know, when you, as law enforcement officers, and you've been at this for 28 years, mm-hmm. it's got to be even more alarming to your officers. And they've got to be even more on the edge now than 28 years ago. Because they never know what they're running into. Let's talk a little bit about that.
That's the hard conversation that no one really wants to address, but yet and still, when we see these incidents of officer-involved shootings, you know, there is a quick to blame the officer where there is this a lot of weapons in our community in the wrong hands. And there is that level of, you know, nervousness that you do have. You're always taught to be, you know, protecting yourself and protecting others. But, you know, we're seeing too often now that we are involved in situations where we just recently had over the summer, one of our officers had to shoot, unfortunately, a young one that was just, you know, a couple hours before involved in a carjacking where they're using a gun to take a vehicle. Young kids, six kids in a car. And so these are things that should never have to be if we don't have these opportunities that we give to our young ones of getting a hold of things that they don't have the maturity, they don't have the understanding to handle, and they're using it in the most dangerous and wrong ways. And here we are expected to always have the right answer for these moments, especially when we talk about these particular type of weapons of destruction in their hands.
Just yesterday, on Locust Street, 7th and Locust, 17-year-old young man loses his life because they're in cars, in a car, and they're firing. They're in our neighborhoods and communities. Let's, for people who are listening and who don't know and who don't have to deal with this, in our city, you don't know when somebody's driving past you with a firearm, and you look and you see young children driving, and they're discharging weapons randomly. And so when law enforcement is called or somebody has to deal with it, unfortunately, in our community, I hear people say, well, that's not the way law enforcement should have. And I say, well, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. I mean, I'm a taxpayer.
Right.
I'm a senior.
Yeah.
And so I'm a little bit different than most seniors from the standpoint that I'm aware of those things. Yeah. And so you're terrifying the citizens. What is law enforcement supposed to do, right, Chief?
That's where the call to action comes in, where we are, you know, seeing these type of behaviors out there. It should never be acceptable. And one, we have to recognize we have a problem. And then the next thing is, how can we, and I say we because, you know, we're all in this. This is not just any particular group or any particular entity that's responsible for it all. We do understand enforcing the law, but there's so much more when we talk about in regards to how they get a hold of these weapons. You know, what is drawing them to engage in behaviors with these weapons? And, you know, how do we make sure that this is not going to happen again or have the, you know, sustainability that we have solutions that's going to be able to turn this tide that we're seeing, which is unacceptable, that too many kids are, you know, in possession of firearms doing the worst things with them.
So if you're just joining us, that is none other than Chief Jeffrey Norman. He is the chief of police for the city of Milwaukee. And the guy who's been at this for 28 years, and the guy who I like to refer to as my friend, and a man who I have very profound respect for. I've seen a lot of chiefs in my time in the city. You are right at the top of it.
Thank you.
844-967-2789. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. We'll return.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
I don't know about other states, but in Wisconsin, we help our neighbors and love our communities. But California mega millionaire Eric Hovde doesn't seem to get that. Maybe that's why he questioned whether children should be able to stay on their parents' insurance until they're 26. And whether people in nursing homes should be able to vote. Hovde called for raising the retirement age for hardworking Wisconsinites and making obese people pay more for health care. And a Hovde company even spent decades trying to demolish the building housing Madison's oldest family-owned bar, something they finally did this year, shuttering a treasured neighborhood institution for good. That is not how we do things in Wisconsin. And that is why we can't let California mega millionaire Eric Hovde represent us. Paid for by a Better Wisconsin Together Action. ABWT-action.org. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
What's better than one win? Three wins? With Straight Savings, you keep your own phone, get one line for only $25 a month with real unlimited data, and get rewarded with a $200 phone credit after 12 months. It's a win-win-win. Head to Walmart or visit straighttalk.com today. Switch to Straight Talk. Less dollars, more sense. Straight Savings Plan enrollment requires compatible unlocked device and new line of service. Bonus device credit requires 12 months of active service. Offer ends if eligibility requirements are no longer met. Taxes and fees apply. For network management practices, see Straight Talk's terms and conditions.
The Todd Alba Show.
They're eating the pets.
J.D. Vance has said on the air that he admitted it was all a lie. Pat Kreitlow, words have consequences.
Of course they do. When we're talking about the incendiary remarks about immigrants, we're not talking about the fact that it was Donald Trump and Donald Trump alone who killed the bipartisan border security and immigration reform bill.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK. Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
So being old school is not always bad.
Not at all. Not at all. Dave's Brown.
All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. Chief Jeffrey Norman, the police chief of the City of Milwaukee Police Department, is in the studio. And before I get to a question, I want to... Do you believe that the officers walking the beat in neighborhoods would be a good way to reconnect with the community members?
Absolutely. And that's a, you know, underutilized tool that we wish we could really, you know, delve into because of staffing. It's always a challenge. We need to have those particular, you know, beat cops. And when I started, I had a beat and, you know, it's nice to be able to have that connection and learning. We're doing so many other things to make sure that we're trying to get somewhat to that beat type of relationship, but absolutely, I agree.
So let me ask you, if you listen to all of the stuff that's going on in the campaign, you hear people say crime is at the worst rate it's ever been in the history of our nation. And so, you know, the crimes are, they're just out of control and it's the worst. You can't even go outside because of the crime. You're in a big city, a big urban city.
Right.
You know other chiefs Absolutely. That are also in big urban cities.
Absolutely.
Is this the worst crime wave in the history of mankind?
Absolutely not. And it's always hard to have those conversations between perception and what's reality. And one of the things I never want to do is get into that type of argument, but our numbers are down. Our numbers are down across many of the what we call part one crimes, major crimes. But beyond even that, it's not even to believe me, just look at the FBI reporting out in regards to what crime is looking like across the nation. Violent crime is down across the nation. Other major city chiefs are also enjoying that decline. Are we at where we need to be at? No, but we are getting in a better place than what we were. And that's important when we want to look at what's going on, what the results are out there.
So, Chief Norman, you guys, you know, come after. People, police is not your job to prevent crime.
Right.
No matter how people say you're supposed to, that's not what a law enforcement officer's role is it?
Right. So we understand we should be a part of that conversation, part of efforts of prevention. You know, we do a lot of different things, but I always remind people our prime directive is law enforcement. Enforce the law to ensure that those who are, you know, again, violating ordinances, state statutes, federal laws, we work with partners, that they're being held accountable for that. But we are involved in it, but that's not our prime directive in regards to that. That's where we work with our community-based organizations, work with our elected officials, work with so many people who have really great ideas and subject matter expertise in those areas.
I would be remiss if I didn't address these last few moments that we have with you for now, but only if you commit to come back when you have some time.
Always.
Okay.
So, whenever you make that call, I answer.
So here's the deal. When you see all these young boys and girls in stolen cars, 12, 13, 14 years old, they've learned how to steal cars off the internet.
Yeah.
How does that make sense?
Social media needs bumper rails. They need guardrails. There needs to be some way of ensuring that those counterproductive type of media, that type of, you know, telling people how to make a bomb or how to build things that are, again, against the, you know, interests of a civilized society, they need to be able to have that being, you know, curtailed and censored to a point. You know, 11-year-olds, 5-year-olds should not be, you know, viewing these type of things where they are learning how to steal a car or learning how to get into, you know, again, violent or illegal behavior. So it is important for us as a family to, you know, make sure we're monitoring, but it's also a responsibility of our community to make sure that there is guardrails like everything else. You can't drive a car without a license. You can't, get into the air without getting checked through, certain, you know, checkpoints of TSA. So we also need those bumper rails for our social media.
So when you hear people say, well, that interferes with people's constitution, I constantly get frustrated. You know, last time I checked, I'm one of the people. And so when they talk about constitutional rights, you got the right to this and the right to that. Those rights should never supersede what's in the best interest of and safety of the American people. Do you agree with that?
There is a lot of conversation about that, especially in regards to that, you know, it ain't anything goes. First Amendment only goes so far. You can't go into a theater and say bomb or fire. I mean, those are things where we see there is a greater good for the protection of society while we have these bumper rails or guardrails. So definitely it's a ongoing conversation about what we find acceptable and not acceptable. But anything that harms our community, especially our livelihood, should be regulated and should be looked at.
So what can you say to other Wisconsin residents who are afraid to visit Milwaukee? The city has so much to offer and gives so much to the state. So many people are missing out.
I would say do not use someone else's story be your story. When we had the RNC, we had a lot of other jurisdictions into our community. And they were just floored of all the opportunities, a beautiful Riverwalk, you know, a lot of great things going on within the downtown area, but also within the city, the culture, the food. It's unfortunate that you use and allow media to be our, you know, just the only story that we need. Find out for yourself and speak on it on yourself.
Last question. What percentage of violent crime is committed by immigrants, illegal immigrants?
Oh, my goodness. So that's something that we don't track, you know, it's looked at from a standpoint of what people are. You know, we don't look at it from a standpoint of what your, you know, status is. And that's not something that, you know, we see on any large scale in our city of anything in regards to if you want to characterize an immigrant related crime.
Chief Nolan, I want to thank you very much, man, from the depth of my heart. We got to get back together.
Yes, sir.
I got so much to talk about, and you've got so much to offer. That's Chief Jeff Norman, the chief of, I think, the best chief in the country of the city of Milwaukee, and my friend.
I appreciate it.
Okay, 844-967-2789 is the number. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know.
Some of Wisconsin's smaller public water systems will share nearly $500,000 in grants to fight PFAS and manganese pollution. These are systems that have been ineligible for help in the past. The money will go toward new wells, new water treatment systems, or connecting to other public water systems. Former Green Bay Packers star Brett Favre dropped a bombshell during Capitol Hill testimony on his role in a welfare fraud scheme in Mississippi yesterday.
Sadly, I also lost an investment in a company that I believed was developing a breakthrough concussion drug I thought would help others. And I'm sure you'll understand why it's too late for me, because I've recently been diagnosed with Parkinson's.
The doctor at the center of the scandal pleaded guilty to wire fraud in July. Favre denies any wrongdoing. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. A Rice Lake man was arrested and charged with his 17th operating while intoxicated offense over the weekend. According to court documents, a woman called law enforcement authorities at around 8:15 on Friday night to report a truck that was swerving all over the road and crossing the center line, nearly colliding with traffic heading the opposite direction. Authorities tracked the license plate to 71-year-old Mark Allen Johnson's home and conducted a preliminary blood test, which showed a BAC of nearly 0.15. A Duluth Addiction Treatment Center has received a $100,000 donation. Members of a community race team took part in the annual Breezy Point 5K to support the Minnesota Adult and Teen Challenge and raised over $100,000 for the cause. It was the 16th iteration of the race, which saw over 600 participants and volunteers. On Monday, they presented the $100,000 check to the organization's Duluth office. The remainder of the money raised went to a volunteer fire department. And that's what you need to know. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Good news for moviegoers. Just when it looked like people were done leaving the house to see movies, the box office turned itself around this summer and even into the fall. On the heels of an actors and writers strike and a worldwide pandemic, people finally seem to be going back to theaters, which most cinema prognosticators did not see coming. How happy are theater owners? Deadline reports that a group of U.S. and Canadian exhibitors that control almost 70% or over 21,000 movie theater screens in North America have committed $2.2 billion to upgrade their facilities. The National Association of Theater Owners say the funds will be used to upgrade to the latest laser projection technology, sound systems, better seating, food and beverage option upgrades, and family enhancement experiences like arcades and even bowling. In addition to the bells and whistles, cosmetic upgrades in the way of carpeting, better lighting and signage, and air conditioning will also happen. Let's hope the theater experience keeps getting better and never goes away. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
It is going to feel a lot more like summer than fall here for the next several days. Today, sunny with a high in the mid to upper 70s this afternoon. Tonight, clear. We may get a little fog toward morning. Our low upper 40s to low 50s tomorrow. Mostly sunny with a high in the upper 70s to low 80s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 49.
Worthington, Minnesota continues to shine. It's worth a look. We've expanded so many things. It's a time of growth. We've expanded recreation activities with our indoor ice arena, our indoor turf rec center and playground, and our outdoor water park, Worthington, Minnesota. It's worth a look. Our schools have expanded, and so has our industry. We're continuing to expand our population also, with lots ready to build on Glenwood Heights. So let's grow together in Worthington, Minnesota. It's worth a look.
Out here in the middle of all these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. And sometimes that's how it feels when you're going through tough times. Trouble sleeping, your mind racing. So what do? We get help. There are people in our community who are here for us. Sometimes just talking to someone can make all the difference in the world. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I'm joined by legendary performer Charo, Jesse March from the Festival Theater in St. Croix, and King of Queens writer, executive producer Rock Rubin joins to discuss the show's legacy.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Never gonna give you up. So don't you think of leaving.
You think if you hurt me that I'll go away. Made it up in my mind that I'm here to stay. So tell him, never gonna give you up. Whisper in his ear, no matter how you treat me. You tell him that Jerry said he'll never let you go. So don't you think of me. Hey, don't you understand what you're doing to the man?
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's always good to have Chief Norman, in the studio. And so one of the reasons that I wanted to have him in, and so we'll have him on longer. He had a very, very busy schedule for today, but I got to have him in at least an hour, which we'll do soon. Was to point out the fallacy that you keep hearing about the cities being the worst place in the world and that crime is, clearly crime in the city of Milwaukee is a lot bigger than it is Calvin and Eagle, right? I mean, there's a lot more people, man.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's just common sense.
And so, to lead people, as he stated, murders are down from 170 last year at this time to 100. 100 is way too many, right? One is too many. But they're not accentuating that on the right, so-called right side of things. They won't even talk about that because they want to continue to mislead people. Before I go to the phone lines, here's another one of those issues that people on the so-called right, conservatives, I hate using the term right when I refer to people who are on the far right side of things, because there's nothing right in the things that they say and do. We should say the wrong. They should have a new title, The Wrong, because they're always on the wrong side of common sense things. So there's a fight over food stamps, and they claim to be in support of the farmers, right? You constantly hear the Republicans, we support the farmers, and so the Democrats aren't doing what they're supposed to do for the farmers, and the farm bill, the Democrats aren't supporting them. Well, those of you in rural America, in rural Wisconsin, who want to see this farm bill, it's a critical time. It's a critical time for you. Guess who's holding up the farm bill? Republicans. The bill's all set to be signed. You should think about this when you hear them saying the things that they're saying to you. Because listen, food stamps used by tens of thousands of Wisconsin families are on the chopping block in a Republican draft of the federal farm bill. And an impasse over the proposed cut threatens to hinder a much larger spending package that provides subsidies for farms and farmers across the country. The version of the bill proposed by the House Committee on Agriculture in May makes a number of changes to the Federal Supplemental Nutritional Assistance Program, known as SNAP, the most notable of which is a shift in policy that would effectively cut $30 billion in benefits over the next decade. So, hey, Republican politricksters. So what do you get out of cutting $30 billion out of food stamps for poor people? I mean, what impact is that going to have on the overall budget and the budget deficit that our nation has? Can't you find something else? Are you glorified by just trampling on poor people? You get a kick out of that? So you have organized against these poor people who all they want to do is eat, man. Just shouldn't we as a nation, the wealthiest nation on earth, make sure that people get enough food? Now, whether you're Democrat or Republican, I don't understand that. A breakdown of the funding shows families enrolled in the program would lose a day's worth of benefits each month beginning in 2027, eventually expanding to a cut of 2 days' worth of benefits each month by the end of the budget window, according to estimates from the Congressional Budget Office. Hey, guess what, Republicans? Guess who you're starving? Children and the elderly. That's who we're talking about when we talk about food stamps. Do you get a kick out of that? As it stands, an individual person enrolled in SNAP benefits receives $7 per day. That's what people get on average, Calvin, food stamps. $7 a day. And they're constantly talking about how much the price of food has gone up. There's so many people hungry in this country today, more so than ever before. And instead of looking at a way to address that, what do? They want to cut it even more.
Yeah, I mean, it just doesn't even make sense. And I think they have this idea in their head that it's the urban, it's the cities right. that are this drain. But there is a considerable population of rural people that are on food stamps as well.
Well, I would say this. Anybody who knows the numbers knows that the majority of the people who are on food stamps aren't people in the urban centers, and they aren't people of color, because we only make up 12% of the population. So this misconception that is had for people on the right, people on the wrong, I'm going to start calling the people on the wrong. So from now on, when you think I'm talking about the right, I'm talking about the wrong. These are people on the wrong. Data from 2022 shows more than 700,000 Wisconsinites were enrolled in the state's food share program. The state system within the SNAP benefits are regulated and distributed, making up to about 12% of the state population. Each person enrolled in the program receives $164 a month to spend on groceries. Let's go to the phone lines and Susan from Kenosha. Good morning to you, Susan. Your thoughts?
My thoughts on this is that people on the right are always giving misinformation that doesn't really apply to regular people. And I believe that people should have, with the SNAP program, we need, with the cost of food, we need these programs in place. So our people who are on the lower end of the system will be able to eat. When people don't have enough food and they don't have a place to stay, that's when criminal activity goes up, because the only thing they can think about doing is doing some sort of criminal activity so that they can fund the basics for living. And this becomes this big cycle over and over and over again. So what we have to do is first address the issues. The issues are, we need to feed these people, we need to house these people, and we need to give them education so they can get the jobs, so they can produce enough money to take care of themselves. If we continue on the route that we're going, this is just going to get worse and worse. And then the complaints that these people have about the rising criminal activity, yeah, it's going to rise. I mean, because like you say, people like to eat. People like to sleep in warm, cozy atmospheres. They like to have a roof over their head. And if they can only get it through criminal activity, then that's the resource they're going to go to.
Hey, Susan, thank you very much for the call. I can't, and I say this in my community, I can't justify criminal behavior. You know, there's no way I can justify criminal behavior. But if I can't get something to eat, first law of nature is self-preservation. I'm sorry. You know, when I go in my kitchen, there's more than enough for me and my family. I've never had to worry about there not being food. I'm from a family of 13. Excuse me. And I was never hungry. So I don't know what it's like to be hungry. But there are a lot of people who are. And so I don't know why that's not a priority in our nation. And for those in this state, in rural Wisconsin, and farmers who are looking and waiting for the farm bill to be passed, you need to be calling your legislators on the Republican side in this state who are holding it up. They're the ones who are preventing this bill that you need from passing. Not Democrats, not Joe Biden, not Kamala Harris. The farm bill is not moving forward because Republicans want to cut $30 billion from food stamps. And I don't see where there's any correlation between the two. I'm just sorry, I don't. I don't understand that. Van Orden, you know, who is on the House Committee, Agriculture Committee, said that he's against cutting SNAP benefits. He said this publicly just recently, but in May, he voted in favor of the committee's proposal to cut the program. Hey, Van Orden, which one is it? You know, believe what you, should people believe what they see or what they hear from you? You say one thing, and yet the truth of the matter is something altogether different. The Agriculture Committee's program includes some expansion of benefits, including allowing people with former drug-related felony convictions to qualify for benefits once released from prison. Okay, Calvin, 844-967-2789. Let's say somebody was incarcerated. And so they're incarcerated, which for the most part knocks them out of being able to get a job. So what do they do to eat? So they've tried to change this and say, well, people who've been incarcerated can now be eligible for food stamps. Republicans, absolutely no. Not going to happen. We're not going to give food stamps to criminals. So what do you think the person's going to do when they're hungry, Calvin?
Well, I mean, yeah, it's obvious. That's how the cycle of crime continues.
Yeah, it just is another one of those things that I just cannot comprehend. Things that just don't make any sense. The farm bill, which contains the spending framework for SNAP benefits, is supposed to be updated every 5 years, but Congress failed to pass a reauthorization bill in 2023. Instead, lawmakers approved a temporary extension of the last iteration of the bill, meaning many of the programs within the spending package are operating at 2018 levels, the last time the legislation was revised by Congress. 844-967-2789 is the number. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. Don't you understand that you're killing this man?
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Matt and Air on Air.
Wisconsin's volunteers are making a difference in our communities every single day. Find the perfect volunteer opportunities for you at volunteerwisconsin.org. You can filter by location, organization, cause, accessibility, and more, all to help find the best fit for you. Go to volunteerwisconsin.org or get in touch with your local United Way or Volunteer Center today. VolunteerWisconsin.org is hosted by United Way of Wisconsin and Serve Wisconsin. paid for by United Way of Wisconsin.
There are so many traditions built around the Wisconsin Badgers, game day and the mascot, which in 1889 was a real badger. It didn't go well. Eventually, the animal was replaced by a person. An on-campus contest chose the official mascot name, Buckingham U. Badger. Still, Wisconsin's official animal is a badger. But do you know which animal almost earned this title instead? Gray squirrel? White-tailed deer? Black bear? The answer is coming up. The original badger's nickname is actually associated with lead miners in the state, not the animals. It was the 1820s, and the miners often didn't have shelter in the winters, so they lived like badgers, digging tunnels into the hillsides where they worked. So was there almost another state animal? Yes, the white-tailed deer, which later became the official wildlife animal. But the history surrounding the badgers is a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
"Hey, you got this. Just breathe." Hey, we're pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by Adopt US Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
I can show you the world, shining, shimmering, splendid. Tell me, princess, now when did you last let your heart decide? I can open your eyes, take you wonder by wonder, over, sideways, and under, on a magic carpet ride. A whole new world, a new fantastic point of view. No one to tell us no, or where to go, or say we're only dreaming.
A whole new world, a dazzling place I never knew.
All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. Another one of those things that makes me scratch my head. U.S. public schools banned over 10,000 books last year during 2023-2024 academic school year. 10,000 books banned. Public schools and libraries across the U.S. are still facing the rise of book challenges due to recent state and local policies that have accelerated efforts to censor certain materials, according to preliminary findings released by two advocacy groups. While book censorship is at a new high, efforts to ban books have rapidly spread across the nation since COVID-19. Supported by conservative organizations that have pushed for nationwide banning efforts. Again, when you talk about people having constitutional rights, and who talks about that more than people on the right? Oh, excuse me, people on the wrong. About people interfering with their rights. They have decided that other people's rights don't matter. In two separate reports released Monday during Banned Books Week, PEN America and the American Library Association provided contrasting data on recent and attempted book bans reported in the U.S. I would say to you that books that are, you know, that are in libraries, Calvin, that were there when you and I were even young, and that were available and didn't taint us to go through libraries and kick out books because you think they're going to impact and affect your child. Is that the right way to handle things, man?
Well, I mean, I certainly don't think so. I was a voracious reader when I was a kid, and the decision on what I was going to read was always between me and my mom. It wasn't the school. Maybe sometimes I had the books, but I don't understand. It's not other people's place to tell kids and their parents what books they can and can't read.
Well, I mean, it's just another one of those signs, you know, we used to call it busybodies. We used to say, hey, look inside your own house and deal with what's happening inside of your own house before you reach out to somebody else's life and impact and affect them. These organized efforts to change the nation as we know it, supposedly for the better, predicated on people on the right, people on the wrong side of things, is what's at the root of it. And all of this, you know, reactions by people on the right, people on the left, people aren't pushing back on them. And so they've been winning. They've been able to get away with this foolishness, and they've impacted, you know, and changed the trajectory of this nation forever. Let's go to Brendan. Hey, good morning to you, Brendan. You say what?
Yeah, you know, the library issue is so interesting because really you've got Moms for Liberty out there, and I love how they use the word liberty instead of the word control. It would be so easy to fix this in the public school system. All they have to do is set up databases in the libraries at the schools, and the parents would be able to pick and choose what books their kids could get and not get. And so that when they went to the school library, if they tried to check out a book that their parents were not cool with, then it would come up on the database and the librarian wouldn't be able to give them the book. But instead, it's not about that, Earl. It's not about any of that. This is all part of Project 2025. The whole thing that's going on in states with abortion is about Project 2025. This is your first taste of it, everybody. Wake up, because it's coming. And if you think just because Kamala wins the White House, these states aren't going to even go more rampant if they have full Republican legislatures and houses, you're incorrect. But it's about control, because there's easy ways to control the library. And the food thing, that's just Republicans punishing poor people who normally vote Democrat.
All right, Brendan, well said, my friend. As always, 844-967-2789 is the number. It's Wednesday. That means the one and only Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action, will be on board.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as we will be live from Los Angeles, California. That's right, Los Angeles, getting ready for the Badgers versus USC all the rest of this week. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
How serious is youth vaping? Irreversible lung damage serious? 1 in 10 kids vape serious? Which warrants a serious conversation from a serious parental figure, like yourself. Not the seriously know-it-all sports dad, or the seriously smart podcaster. It requires a serious conversation that is best had by you. No, seriously, the best person to talk to your child about vaping is you. To start the conversation, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298 DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.